I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 18 it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." Today we want to look at the resurrection of Christ. We know that by comparing Scripture with Scripture that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. We know by comparing Scripture with Scripture that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. We know that by comparing Scripture with Scripture that He was crucified and He was buried. We also know that by comparing Scripture with Scripture that Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave, but He was resurrected. And we want to look at that today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 21 it says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33 it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." John chapter 11 verse 25, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Where can people really look if they want to see the love of God? And there's a historical event that demonstrates and proves that God is a God of love. In John chapter 3 and verse 16 it says, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead." Jesus died for the lost of this world, the lost in sin, and that's everybody. This demonstrates the love of God, that He gave His only begotten Son, and that Jesus gave Himself to die for you and for me. Where can people really look if they want to see the power of God? There is a great historical event that proves that God is a God of power. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places?" Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "That I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." When God wants to demonstrate His grace and mercy, He points to one specific individual. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There's only one way of salvation, and that is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says this, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Christianity is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is mentioned at least 104 times in the New Testament. You won't read about Buddha. You won't read about Confucius. You won't read about Muhammad. You won't read about any other so-called prophet resurrecting from the dead. Jesus is the only one. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Savior. 104 times in the New Testament, the resurrection is mentioned. Without the resurrection, there would be no gospel, no salvation, no Christianity, and no message of hope for mankind. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also we are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Listen to this now. This is the gospel. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel. Christ fulfilled every prophecy of the Bible concerning His death, burial, and resurrection. And as Christians, we must not only believe in the resurrection, we should also know why we believe. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says this, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith is founded upon facts. And the greatest fact of all is that God raised up Jesus. Acts chapter 5 and verse 30 says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." If the enemies of the gospel can destroy this fact, then they have destroyed the basis for our faith. Now, suppose an atheist or a skeptic wished to destroy the Christian faith. Let him prove that Christ never rose from the dead. When that's done, he has destroyed Christianity. His work is done. But the good news, Christ did rise from the dead. We know that. We accept what God says in His holy word. God cannot lie. It says, "For by grace are ye saved." And you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's look for a moment at the claims of Christ. Suppose a religious or political leader living today began to make the following announcement over the radio. He might say something like this, "I want you all to know that when I go to London," this is the supposed man or the supposed person speaking now, "when I go to London, my enemies will murder me. My body will be buried. But in less than a week's time, I will be raised from the dead and hundreds of people will see me alive." What an extraordinary prediction coming from the lips of any man. Well, in our study, as we go through the Word of God, we study the remarkable claims of Christ, and we learn that Jesus clearly claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This is in the Word of God. Back from the dead, Jesus made yet another amazing claim. Not only was He the Messiah, the Son of the living God, but that He would rise again from the dead. This is what He said in Matthew 16, 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Jesus made this prediction, and Jesus not only told His disciples He would rise, His enemies also knew about this claim as well. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 64, it says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation," and we keep reading there, "the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive," this is speaking of Jesus, "after 3 days I will rise again." And they asked Pilate this, and they said, "Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead." Now, listen to this. "So the last error shall be worse than the first." What are they speaking of? One Bible scholar has said this about that: the last error shall be worse than the first, speaking of that. That is, the last deception for taking him from the tomb, pretending that he rose, shall have a wider influence among the people than the first for his pretending to be the Messiah. In other words, to these people, it would be worse for him to rise from the dead than by him pretending to be the Messiah. And it's one thing to claim to be the Messiah, they said, but it's another thing to rise from the dead. And we don't want anybody to think that happened. In other words, they don't want anybody thinking that he rose from the dead. But thank God it did happen. If the resurrection was a hoax, if Jesus never really rose from the dead, then we would have to say that Jesus was a deceiver. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 63 says, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, he said this, 'I will rise again.'" Well, Jesus did rise again from the dead, as he said. Matthew 28:6 says, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 46, it says, "And he said unto them, 'These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me.' Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day.'" Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus came out of the grave. But notice something. Something happened here. Consider Peter. He cowardly denied Christ 3 times, according to the Bible. But then, later on, Jesus looked at him, and the Bible says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. And we know that doubting Thomas refused to believe in the resurrection unless he could actually see and touch the risen Christ, according to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 25. Tradition tells us that Thomas later became a great missionary to India. And in John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29, something happened. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He saw Jesus. He realized that Jesus had risen from the dead. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior"? Why not do that right now? If you've never done that, you need to do that. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Ask him to come into your heart. He'll save you today if you'll simply trust him. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Believe God. Believe the Word of God. He died for you, and he wants to save you today. Look at our website this week, lrwm.org. lrwm.org. You'll be able to read more on that website about Jesus.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly, is our prayer.